1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Then verse 13, which we didn't comment, "And I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I'll probably stop there and make a few comments. So let's open our lesson with prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word again. Thank you for an opportunity to come to church. And I pray, God, your blessing on our day and our events, all those that will minister and take part in our service this morning, especially for those that may come that do not know you, that they might be saved before they leave this place. Bless our Sunday schools and our teachers, and then all that there is to do. Bless me. Give me utterance to speak your word. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. So when he says, "I give thee charge in the sight of God," he is obviously summing up everything he has said. But notice, we commented before, and I'm not going to go back and rehearse that lesson, on the word charge. "I give thee charge." And a charge is a definite, for lack of a better term, proclamation to someone to step up, take the responsibility, and do what God has called you to do. And in this age that we live, a pretty liberal, subjectional age, everybody, "Well, I don't see it that way. I don't feel like that." And we get all this craziness. Right ain't right anymore. Wrong isn't wrong. Black ain't black. White ain't white. And "Well, I don't have an opinion. I just go with the flow." Well, that wasn't the message he was sending Timothy as a young preacher. Say, he said, "I charge thee." In other words, man, there, you've been called to preach. You've been called to, you're supposed to have utterance to teach the word of God in all these avenues. Don't capitalize on all the minor things and then major on all the, I should have said it that way. Don't major on all the minor things and let all the major things go. The major things is preaching and teaching the word of God for the man of God. It's not a bunch of other stuff. "Oh, well, you just ought to hear me do my skit," or whatever you do. It don't matter. Preaching and teaching. So the charge, the word charge, not to reteach it. "I give thee charge." Again, that word shows up again, shows up multiple times. He wants the young man to know that, look, this is your primary responsibility. It's not all these other things. And we even went back to Acts chapter 6 and looked at why they need to be given to prayer and the word of God. They were the ministers of the word of God. They weren't supposed to do all these other things, so they needed the deacons at that time to help with the overflow and the load and to take care of the widow's table, which, if you please, in parentheses, is all the other things that are necessary, but they're not the major thrust. They need to be taken care of. The man of God doesn't need to be spending his time taking care of those things when he should be given to prayer and the word of God. Then we had a whole lesson on prayer, and that it so affected me. I've been in a study mode, I guess, with Leonard Ravenhill's book on why revival tarries. And I thought, well, I'm going to learn a lot about this. So about the third time I'm going through that book, and generally what I do after devotions and things like that, my Bible reading, read the news, all that, drink my coffee, I pull up audio pack and I listen to that book again, and man, it's I am convinced prayer is, and that's Acts 6, to be given to prayer and the word of God. We just don't pray like we should, and as preachers and teachers and ministers, and I get under conviction, and so I guess this morning you're suffering the consequences of my conviction. But here, I charge thee, in the sight of God. That's a great thing. When you're charged in the sight of God, that's a great responsibility there. Now, watch here. Then he uses a term, a word that we probably ought to try to define in light of the scripture. He says, who quickeneth all things. And we don't use the word quicken too much, but it is a word the Holy Ghost chose to put in the King James Bible. It's preserved. It's there for us. It has quite a definition, quite meaning, and it's used extensively throughout the Word of God and in its unique definition found in the Scriptures. But here today, you won't hear me talk or anybody else talk and use the word, he quickened me, unless we're quoting Scripture or talking Bible things. But it is a good word, and so goes the English language. The word is there, and in its old-fashioned meaning, its archaic setting, and it's good and pure and holy, and the Holy Ghost chose it, so I'm going to stay with it and go with it. So I just automatically want to know something about it. Why is it there? Why did he use it? So the word quickeneth, what does quicken mean in the Bible? Good question, and I think it deserves some kind of an answer. My personal note, to make spiritually alive. That would be the Phil Gabber generic definition of the word quicken. Now, we'll go a little further, and that's in contrast to physical life. Now, humanity enjoys the reproductive program, and when a man and wife has a child, they bring forth physical life. Can I say this? That's not spiritual life. That's physical life. But I'm a spiritual being. We'll talk about that. But you're born a physical birth. That's John chapter 3 if you want more Bible. But so to make spiritually alive, to quicken one, in contrast to just simple physical life. God can do both, and did you hear what I say? God can do both, and he can. He's the creator God. But spiritual life is what people do not naturally have. You realize when you're born into this world physically, you don't have spiritual life. You're born under condemnation. John chapter 3, verse 17. We won't run all the verses, but you're born lost. You say, well, I haven't had time to be bad yet. Don't confuse bad sin with how you were born. And preachers get this wrong all the time. They'll stand up, you know you were a sinner. You lied, you cheated. Hold up here. I'm sorry, smoking cigarettes, drinking booze, chasing women, that's not what sends you to hell. Did you hear what I said? Say, oh, you're preaching heresy. No, I'm not. Now, those are sins, and they are sins of the flesh, and they're spoken against the Word of God. But the sin that sends you to hell is the fact you're born on this earth and you don't have the Holy Ghost in you. You're born a physical birth and you don't have any eternal life. Oh, you got some eternal life, but you know what? To have that kind of life, when I say that kind of life, natural life, you're born in darkness, and if you live and die in that darkness, you'll go to hell because of the sin nature you're born under. Nobody gets that thing right. They don't want to preach it. They want to jump around, preach about half the gospel, and then wonder when people get saved why they don't really get saved. Amen. That's good preaching. Where'd you get that? Leonard Ravenhill, 1952. All right. Watch. So we must be born again. Hence the term shows up in John chapter 3 for the first time in the scripture. You say, born again, what's that? You need a quickening. You need a making alive spiritually. Yeah. Amen. That's the new word. So you need to be born again. To get this quickening, spoken of only in the Word of God, one must receive the Holy Ghost, which is life eternal. Now that's just my definition and my terms and my notes. Now let me give you dictionary definition on the word quicken. You'll be surprised. The word quicken is used in the King James Version of the Bible, and it means, and by the way, it's not used in a lot of the other translations. I didn't run them all down, but I'm amazed at how they want to take these words out. And here's what they say. They're archaic. We don't need them. No. They're the real deal. They're what the Holy Ghost chose, and we need to leave them there because they actually teach us what we need to know. Now watch. He says the word quickeneth is used in the King James, and I'm quoting here, and it means revive or make alive, dictionary definition. If something is living spiritually, it is quick. And then the word digresses from the spiritual sense in the scriptures. It digresses a little into the English language. To quicken something is to bring it to life or restore it to a former flourishing condition. In other words, ye must be born again. So do you mean one time I had eternal life? Let me tell you something. You've got eternal life now when you're born physically, but it's a dark thing. And if you live and die with that thing, it'll send you to hell. You say, why? Because it's absent of the Holy Ghost of God. So when a man must be born again, or he gets saved, the Holy Spirit is joined to that person, hence giving him life and light and the ability to step into the presence of God when he dies. We preach and teach that backwards and forwards here. And you'd be surprised at the religious folks that come into our services every Sunday and don't have a clue as to what I'm saying in Sunday school class. Amen. I realize I'm not teaching out of a Sunday school quarterly, which most of the time is so watered down that you don't get anything like this. That's just how it is. And I'm not against material. You know that. Just be a little selective. So the dictionary, the phrase, the quick and the dead, contrast the word dead with the word quick in the scriptures. And so they are antonyms. You know, they're synonyms and antonyms. They're total opposites. And that's good to know. Let me digress a little. You understand, in the Old Testament, we don't have ye must be born again. And when we're born again, we understand. We are quickened. We're made alive by the Holy Ghost of God because he comes inside the believer, knits himself to your spirit, marries your spirit, if you please. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when the Lord talks about, know you not that a man is joined in the heart as one flesh, so he is joined to the Lord as one spirit. That's where I'm at. Not making this up. So you're one spirit. Your spirit now is with the Holy Spirit. You still got your old nature because your old hide, your old stinking flesh never got saved. That's why you're getting a new body. Thank God for that. I'm with Pastor there. I don't want my new body on this side because I know I'd be afraid of whose body I'd get. I want that one over there. Amen. Said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Something like that over there in 1 John. And I want to be like him, amen? Yeah. Man, he walked right through that door in John chapter 21. He partook of that fish. He said, here, look, Thomas, look at my hand. I got a hole. I mean, he had some kind of a body going on there. Yeah. I'm looking for that one, amen? So let me digress and look at the word quicken and quick as the Holy Ghost chose to use it in the scriptures, because that's our teaching, our learning. It's our fortification this morning. It's the food for our soul that we need. Take your Bible and go to Psalms chapter 25 and look at verse 11. Psalms 25 verse 11. It's not used in the context here of the new birth. It's not talking about being born again, because the man David was not born again in the sense as you were are born again. You're sealed with the spirit of redemption. Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 1 in the book of Colossians, all about the sealing of the Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. David did not enjoy that. Psalms chapter 51 says, I pray thee, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Yeah. Now, you couldn't lose him today if your life depended on it. And you say, well, what is that? That's assurance. New Testament assurance of your salvation. You have that today. So, but let me digress and go back and look at how the Holy Ghost used the word quicken. It's a good word. You need to see it. It'll furbish you, maybe refurbish, resharpen us. In the King James Version, that's all I'm using. Quicken me. The Bible says it's quicken me. Say, what does that mean? It means to make alive, to revive. And to make alive in the New Testament is to receive the Holy Ghost of God. To quicken in the Old Testament, it has the same connotation, but it has digressed from the first definition that we give you in the New Testament. So be careful. That's our English language at work. And now we've had many lessons on grammar, the English language, the use of words found in their context, which defines exactly what that word means. There's no gray areas, no miss anywhere. But watch Psalms 25:11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Say, when you see that, David is praying, crying out to God. He knew that God was eternal. He knew that God was holy. He knew that God was righteous, and he knew there was no other God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he cries out to the living, well, and alive God, quicken me. What did he know? I think, well, it's holy, right? It's inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. I think the Holy Ghost just chose to use that word in that place so that we could go back and study that and see, man, the man David, a man after God's own heart. And that's what he says in that verse. Now, let me go a little far. God's quickening in our lives can affect us in many ways. When you get saved, and he can touch you, quicken you. By the power of God, we can be quickened, and we can also probably use the word revived from, I think he helps you when you're sick. Sickness. I know he does. Say, what is that? It's a form of quickening. And like I said, I've digressed from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm in the physical realm now, but it's the physical receiving the spiritual from the Holy Ghost of God. And if you please, the Word of God. I think the Word of God is like medicine for your ailing body. Do you think it's any coincidence when we worked in the Roloff Enterprises, we went down there, my wife and I, down to Mission, Texas, and we asked the Brother Roloff, what do you want us to do? And he said, I want you to take your Bible, I want you to go into the rooms, and I want you to simply read the Bible for an hour to each person there, because not able to get up and not read the Bible. He said, why? It's like medicine to their soul. I thought, wow. And he said, it also helps them out physically. Feel like getting up and doing something. I thought, man. Say, where'd you get that? I think he got it right here. When we think about that, not only from sickness, but from discouragement. You ever been discouraged? Get to church, hear the preaching, hear the teaching. All of a sudden, something lights up on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost takes a hold of the Word of God. And if you please, we could use the term the Holy Ghost used. He quickens us. He doesn't save us again. He just refreshes us, revives us, breathes a spark of life into us. And we walk out feeling like King Kong. By the power of God, he helps us from discouragement, from fear. People have fears. They'll come to you, Pastor, I'm just afraid of this, or I'm afraid of that in life. You need the working power of the Holy Ghost in you. He'll change that. He'll make you alive. From fear, and of course, from the dead. People say, I'm afraid of dying. Then get saved. When you get saved, yeah, your body has to die one of these days. Unless the Lord comes, but you don't have to go to hell. Amen. And quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Take your Bible and look at John chapter 5, verse 21. Well, I quoted it for you. John chapter 5, verse 21 says it like this. Even so the Son, capital S-O-N, personification in the English language, a capital S, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, quickeneth whom he will. He has that kind of power. Now, in John chapter 6, verse 63, a famous place to go for spiritual insight into spiritual things, the Holy Spirit, he gives us life. It is the Spirit, and that would be the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit that quickeneth. This is the verse, John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, or makes alive, or brings to life, or revives. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. And it hadn't been that long ago, Pastor was preaching on the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. There's a big contrast there. The flesh, We live in the flesh, so we're 99.9% flesh, it seems like, when we should only be 50% flesh, amen. Or maybe 1% flesh and 98% Holy Spirit. But boy, what's that song? He's still working on me. Amen. And we will operate in the flesh and try to fool somebody that we're operating in the Spirit. Woo. And that whole passage over there, I think Romans chapter 7 was quoted in a message not too long ago. I don't know if Jeremiah preached it or Pastor Tom preached it. Some of his favorite passages are quoted right down through there. That thing that I would do, I do not. And that thing that I would not, I do. Say, what is that? That's that old battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. Amen? It's when you got up this morning, you looked in the mirror and you combed your hair and you brushed your teeth and, man, I sure looking good today. You're lying through your teeth. You know you got three more wrinkles and you're older today than you were yesterday. And if things go on the way they are, you're going to die. Say, what is that? That's the flesh lying to you. And the Holy Spirit says, thank God you're saved, man. You need a new body. And I say, amen and amen. But he said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, to hear most Christians tell it, man, the flesh gets involved and we'll try to fool people into thinking it was the spirit of God and it wasn't, and it was the flesh the whole time. Now, you're actually getting the truth this morning. Amen. I hope you should get that every time, anytime anybody speaks. You should get the truth. But you'd be surprised that the folks would rather hear you lie to them than tell them the truth. Amen. Say, what are you saying? Well, if the Lord tarries, you're getting old. I'm getting old. You're getting wrinkled. I'm getting wrinkled. You say, what is it? That's the flesh. And the things that we do in the flesh, they can't profit. But in the same token, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body. Now, what? He wants my body? Yeah, he wants your body. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. So, yeah. What you do in this tabernacle, what you do in this flesh, ought to be pleasing to God. But so often, it's pleasing to ourselves or someone else, and it's not pleasing to God. And the body never got saved. The flesh never got saved. So God quickens us according to his word. I love what Psalms 119, take your Bible and go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is exclusively... Well, not exclusively, but primarily, I should say, about the Word of God itself. And there's a great power connected with this. But in Psalms 119, verse 154, let me give you the scripture. I'll back up a page. Here we go. He says, plead my cause. David crying out, plead my cause and deliver me. So he's in distress of some kind. Watch. Quicken me according to thy word. Thy word. Now, did you see how the word got involved here? Quicken me according to thy word. Well, does that have any doctrinal implication in the New Testament? You better believe it does. As ye have received the word of God, the engrafted word of God, even to the salvation of your soul. See, what are you saying? You're saying the word can save me if you believe it. Man, that sure gets close, don't it? You say, well, I thought it was Jesus. Well, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning. I mean, the word was among us and dwelt among us. That's the flesh. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14. I'm butchering it, but go read it. Say, what is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And David said over here, early before the Lord ever shows up, plead my cause. And guess what? Once you get saved, he's pleading your cause every day. He is your lawyer, if you please. He is your advocate, if you please. When the devil accuses you, the Lord's your advocate. No, they're mine. It's my child. Oh, they're a dirty, rotten sinner. They deserve hell. I know it, but I saved them. They're mine. Yeah, in the presence of God. Say, what is that? That's because you were quickened. And I'll get a little further into that thing. But I wanted to connect the word of God to it as the Holy Ghost has done it. Quicken me according to thy word. That was Psalms 119, 154. And look in Psalms 119, verse 88. We'll give you a couple of them. He says here in Psalms 119, verse 88, quicken me. In other words, make me alive. Revive me. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Now that had something to do with the teaching of Paul to young Timothy when he says over here, I give thee charges out of God who quickeneth all things before Jesus, Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate, here we go, witnessed a good confession. So he needs a good testimony. And that's exactly what Paul was saying, David was saying in Psalm 119, verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep thy testimony, the testimonies of thy mouth. Good testimony. Now, so the word quicken, quickeneth, is a Holy Ghost word, amen. And it says, his quickening is also associated with his tender mercies. I had you in Psalms 119, verse 154, right on down two verses. There's Psalms 156. He says, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Watch it. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Do you make me alive? Give me spiritual insight. Revive me to the point that I can know your mercies and your judgments. We don't pray like that too often, do we? But I wanted you to see how it's used. Now, not only his tender mercies, but in his righteousness, you're right there. Turn back to verse 40 in Psalms 119. It's throughout the Psalm, especially Psalms 119. He says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. That's David crying out. And I like Psalms 119, verse 33, all the way through verse 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. That's basically what Paul is telling Timothy to do. But watch verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And I believe simply that Paul, being a student of the Word of God and knowing the Scriptures, is simply relying upon that knowledge to give this advice to the young preacher there. And he brings that word quickeneth up. I believe he probably knew every place in the Scriptures where it was used by the Holy Ghost. Hence my lesson this morning. Quicken. So in righteousness, and then in our joy, you'd have to turn back a little further, Psalms 85. But the Psalms is full of it. And Paul was good at quoting the Old Testament and bringing that precept and that principle into the New Testament, which becomes our New Testament doctrine. The Old Testament is very, very important to the student of God in the New Testament. And Paul proved that by his teaching. So he says in Psalms 85, verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, I don't have to run to the Greek or the Hebrew. The word revive shows up, and it simply means to bring to life. Again, remember our definition for the word quicken, to bring to life, to give life. And I said that we would digress from this definition, which is the strongest here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we're studying, which means the new birth. We would digress a little bit where it can also mean to revive, like a fish out of water, and he gets back in water, and man, he revives. And some preacher comes in and he preaches to us and we're revived. So what is that? Well, it just does something for us spiritually. There's a spiritual, and we can use the word quickening. Amen. So remember, the English language gives multiple definitions to the same word over and over again. Don't get confused. We don't live in a Latino-speaking country where a lot of their definitions, some of their words, they only have one. Some of their letters are all consonant and that kind of thing. We're not like that. Our language is superior. I'm going to say it, superior. I believe that's why the Bible, the 1611, the English language, is the Word of God. Amen. Now, some people take me to task on that. I've been taken to task on that, and I still stand where I stand after 45 years of preaching. Amen. Now, watch. And I believe every other scripture and every other version, and I don't care what Rena Valera you're preaching out of or teaching out of, I've got kids in that stuff. This book that we hold in our hand today is the judge of all books. That's how God set it up. Now watch. So in Psalms 85:6, even our joy. He quickened us in order to keep us on a godly path. Turn away thine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. That's Psalms 119, verse 37. I'll just give a few of these to you. And to preserve a people who call upon him, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. That's Psalms 80, verse 18. David said many times, he used the word quicken. You say, why did he just pick that word? He didn't pick the word. The Holy Ghost picked the word. And it's complementary to every time it's found in the Word of God. I want you to know, when I teach the Word of God, this is a holy book. This is a supernatural book. This is a black book. This should have respect and reverence. Amen. And we should handle it as such. And I do. It daily correcteth me. It daily feeds me. It's my source. It's what God left me. It's what I have and I hold. Say, man, you're about to worship that book. No, but he did say he counted the words of the Lord more necessary. What was that? Huh? Wow. It's sure something. Well, let me go a little further. We cry out for him to quicken us when we are depressed, and I like that because people, a lot of folks dealing with depression today. And Psalms 119, and it's a real thing. Don't let somebody tell you it's not. It's real. David dealt with it and through the Psalms. We've done extensive studies and put some material together on that topic. But in Psalms 119, verse 25, watch what it says. We'll watch the clock here real close for us. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. You say, what is that? That's a man's down in the dirt, man. He knows who he is. He knows what he is. And he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. Brother David's the guy that said, if I could fly away like a bird. See, what is he trying to get out from under? Get away from all the pressures and all the toils and all the thoughts and all the misery going on in his head. You want to get your head straight? You want to get your head on right? Get this book. Because we want to think like the world thinks. We want to think like psychiatry thinks. And I'm going to tell you, now I'm not against psychiatry. I'm not against education. But sometimes they got it wrong. When they're trying to teach a dichotomy in man and not a trichotomy in man, they got it wrong. So here, when a person's depressed, you say, what are you doing? First thing I ask them, you reading your Bible? Oh, well, no, I ain't read my Bible for 5 or 6 years. We might have a problem. So you need to get in the book. There's some things. You take the person that gets depressed, they'll quit reading their Bible. They'll quit listening to good music. Amen. You say, where'd you get that? Well, Saul didn't ask David to come along and sing those sweet psalms. You say, what was he doing? He's getting rid of evil spirits. Amen. Now, music can bring them or music can chase them away. You better have the right kind. Amen. You got to have God's music. Now, I didn't mean to get on music here today. We got great things coming. Amen. Psalms 185, 6. Let me go a little further. He says, we ask that he quicken our hearts when we are pulled by the enticements of the world, so that we remain faithful to his word. And David realized this. Look back, I'll give you this, Psalms 80, and I'll get out of the Psalms. But there's just so much with the word quicken. Psalms 80, verse 18. It says, so will not we go back from thee? Now that's back to the world. That's back to Egypt. That's back to doing all the old junk you always did. Quicken us. Oh, in other words, revive us, make us alive. And we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Man, David knew what was going on. And he knew the Lord. So a lot going on there with the word quicken. Believers in Christ are spiritually quickened by God at the moment of salvation. To realize that, and that's the difference kind of in the Old Testament, New Testament thing. And you hath he quickened, the Bible says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. One of my favorite passages, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and also verse 2. And believers look forward to being physically quickened after death at the resurrection. You say, what do you mean? Your body is going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But that comes after death. The body's coming back. Then it'll be changed. Say, explain all that. We just don't have time. People's here to eat. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Say, who said that? Paul said that in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. So there's hope for that wrinkled up body we got. Amen. Yeah. Well, a lot of people say, well, what do the scholars say? And this is a good test and I'm done. When you come onto a lesson or a teaching or a dogma or somebody's idea, what do the spiritual minded, what do the deeply spiritual think about the situation? I was taught that years ago in Bible school. When you stumble on a new revelation, you really think you have anything, go check out what the deeply spiritual thought about it. See where you stand there. See if you're getting off on a tangent. We get so full of ourselves sometimes, we think us, just our ideas, the greatest thing since sliced bread. Matthew Henry, in his concise commentary, said the human nature of Christ had not before been in heaven, but being God and man, amen, that wondrous person, capital P, was truly said to have come down from heaven. The Messiah's kingdom was not in the world, and they were to understand by faith what he had said of a spiritual living upon himself and his fullness, as without the soul of man, the flesh is of no value. You say, why? Because it's dead. Oh, it's alive, but dead as far as God concerns, because the Spirit of God don't dwell in a lost person. So without the quickening Spirit of God, all forms of religion are dead and worthless. He who made his provision for our souls alone can teach us these things and draw us unto Christ that we may live by faith in him. Let us apply to Christ, thankful that it is declared that everyone who is willing to come unto him shall be made welcome, shall be made whole. Say, who said that? Matthew Henry, so long ago that we can't hardly understand his good English. Amen. So, that thou keep this commandment without spot. And I don't have time. I'm done. I've run over. We need to do other things. Next week we'll talk about keeping that thing. So let's pray. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your patience and that sort of thing. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you so much for a good church to come to, good pastor, good singing, good songs. Bless now our church and our services and our preacher today as he comes, and our evangelist as he comes. These things we ask now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.